Well, what do you think, Guy?
I'm almost speechless.
A little choked up.
I am. I must admit I am. This transcends politics. This is about loving one's country.
My God, it was, wasn't it?
It was. And it's about saving America. And I think he exceeded all expectations. I think this night has been absolutely, and to use a word I just used before, magical. Absolutely magical. How'd you feel about it, Bob?
I'm pretty busted up, Guy.
Yeah.
When he started to talk about his grandmother, and I chatted with you a little bit there as we were going along, he took me to that place where my parents, who were children of the Depression, did so much for me too.
Yes.
And I think it's perhaps odd that someone of his, and you know, he and I are roughly of the same generation, but he has called forth the same level of dedication and determination and compassion that generation, and hard work that generation dedicated to save this nation, for us to do that again, for ourselves, for our future, and in their honor and in their memory.
I couldn't agree more. My parents were children of the Depression as well, and in many ways, both in the military and in life, sacrificed plenty so that we could have what we have and not to squander it away. A lot of it's been squandered here in the last few years. This speech was powerful. It was eloquent. I thought he delivered it with the confidence of a great orator, and most of all, it was sincere. And really, yes, Bob.
I just have to jump in. I really feel like this evening Barack Obama put all of the cards on the table that the Republican Party has pretended to be holding for all of these years, and that the for-profit media has allowed them to pretend it. These cards are now out for everyone to see, and I am so amazed.
Peter, you're right on. You're right on.
He called their bluff. He kicked him in the shins, Guy. Punched him in the face and made him like it.
Yes.
Some of those lines like, we're not going to say that John McCain has his positions because of politics or because... And in a way, I typed it into the chat room. That is a very genteel, very well-heeled way of saying John McCain is an idiot.
I saw you type that, Bob. That was genius.
Yeah, it was. One has to wonder. There are many folks who declare themselves undecided. How could any undecided voter who saw this speech have any reason whatsoever to be undecided any longer?
What response could there possibly be? How do you respond to that? How does the Republican Party respond to that?
I think if you want to see how they respond, probably turn on over to Fox News later on tonight and see what Bill Kristol and Krauthammer and those guys have to say. They'll be parroting whatever the Republicans have to say, but there's no answer to this tonight. There's no spin that can overcome what happened tonight. This was truth. This was honesty. This was sincerity.
It was honorable, Guy. It was honorable.
And unsustainable.
Yes. Yes. There's nothing that can be said from the other side to dent this tonight. Nothing.
Will there be some sort of a Republican response? Do they do it like they do the State of the Union? Is John Boehner going to cry on Fox or something?
I hope so. Because nothing could look anything but completely foolish tonight. This is a momentous occasion.
And you know, Peter, he acknowledged you exist.
I believe.
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah.
Did acknowledge it. Oh, yeah, there was a news story out today. Michelle has visited with one of the, I have the article name in front of me, visited one of the LGBT groups, listened very carefully and urged them to be involved. In other words, Michelle is saying, you know, to the LGBT community that I think in an elegant way that is believable, much like Obama is believable, that the things are going to be okay. I think Obama did really well for saying what he did say.
And how can any member of the armed forces look at that man and say, "Well, I think McCain will do a better job"? No. That's over now. Of course, we know, Guy, that the military is donating to Obama 6-1 over McCain.
Yes. Well, guys, it's on. It's on. And it's inconceivable to me after watching this tonight, this magnificent spectacle, that America won't understand what's at stake here and do the right thing.
And let's be clear about something, if we may. I don't know about you, Guy, or you, Peter, but I did not have that sensation coming away from the Democratic National Convention in 2004 and the nomination being handed to Kerry, who was an honorable, decent man with profoundly honorable service. But I did not come out of that feeling like the GOP had nothing with which to refute it. I don't think they do this time.
You're right, Bob. I absolutely agree.
A level of pure morality and truth that cannot be refuted.
And he lived up to all of the pregame, if you will, Guy. I think we have to say that before you, and you need to sign off and go, I suppose. But he lived up to the setup.
This was not a mistake. This was the right thing to do. It was absolutely a stroke of genius. I can't see that this can be anything but greatly beneficial, and it's good that America got to see this tonight. Yes, I do have to get out of here, Bob. I want to thank you so much for letting me join in on the party tonight. I've enjoyed this week so much from Denver. It's been hard work, but absolutely momentous, and is something I will never, ever forget. And I want to thank all the listeners that stuck with us all week long and listened to this great convention and our comments. Thank you so much, and I'll say good night to all of you now.
Guy, it has been an honor. It has been a pleasure to work with you, and I'll take our coverage and what you and Mark have done over anything that any network can offer.
All I can say is that we stay down south. Guy, you did us proud.
Well, thanks, guys, and I'll talk to you in the next day or so.
And go carefully home, please.
Oh, yeah. Good night.
Thank you, Guy.
Wow.
Are you just gobsmacked, Peter?
Yeah.
Because I am.
Yeah. There's nothing you can say. It was utter truth.
I had a bunch of ideas going along, and I don't really know where. I tell you what, Peter, you know what a cynical ass I can be. I don't have any room in my spirit for that this evening.
That's how I feel, too. It's as if a door was open and the room was filled with something good for a change.
When Obama got to those lines, and I can't wait to get the transcript, it should hit the net pretty quick, but those lines about don't tell me about a red America, don't tell me about a blue America.
Yes.
I stood up. It was like the end of Hoosiers or something. one of those stand up and cheer moments. Because we fight this fight, and we argue these arguments. And I know, Peter, that for you it does the same thing that it does to me. And I know it does it to the folks who share their time with us. I know that, Lord God, it becomes wearying.
it's a heavy weight to carry.
And I want it to change. I want a different America. I want an America where we're working toward a common goal, where we're in a common fight. Because you know what, Peter? The threat to this nation right now is more profound. More profound than anything Hitler had to offer. Or the Empire of Japan.
Yes.
And it's not Islamo-fascists or whatever they care to call them. It is a sickness inside of us that must be cured.
You're absolutely right, Bob. And in fact, while listening to Obama during the course of his talk, I began wondering to myself, how we will pursue doing our individual programs. I mean, Bob, he just changed everything tonight. He changed everything. It's a sea change, and I don't know quite what to do with it. It's unexpected. He cleared the floor. He cleared the room. He
cleared the air.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's under the misapprehension that something's different. I mean, he's not under the misapprehension that the Republicans are going to turn around and play nicey, and he knows what's coming. You know, here we are today, this breaking story, Peter. And let me take just a second here. John, are you there?
Yeah, I am. You got me?
Yeah, I got you. I got you beautiful.
Australia, beauty. Dude. Hey, John.
Hey, Peter.
I take it this did as much for you as it did for us, John.
Well, you know, I'm sitting over here watching this whole thing go down, and I'm just in amazement. And, you know, Peter and Gene sent a link to a webcam at Times Square, and you go and have a watch there, and all along all the sidewalks, there's just a whole bunch of people just planted looking at the Jumbotron. And I'm just going, I never would have dreamed 6 months ago that this night would be on the scale that we've seen tonight. It's just been awe-inspiring, really.
It is, it's dumb-striking, because...
It exposes so much that the Republicans have done and made the majority of the people, well, they say majority, it's hard to know the way the media spins everything, but in other words, I don't see how you could not, to be on the other side of that, how you could not just hang your head in shame after hearing
that. Peter, what I think is the natural and logical extension of what you just said is those questions that he asked, about can we not and can we and can we, those were not rhetorical questions. Did you get the sense that they were, John? I didn't.
No. And the thing that I like that he keeps reaffirming is the fact, and it counters the cult of personality angle that the right wing tries to play. This he reaffirmed that this was not about him. This was about the rest of the country taking responsibility for their own government, and it's not him that's going to make all the difference. It's going to be the people being behind him that will make the difference. And this is why I keep trying to tell people, you know, no one guy is going to fix everything, but I think for the first time in a long time, we may have a unique opportunity to have input into policy like we've never seen before.
What I was asking about those questions, though, is those questions require an answer. Those questions were put to you and me and Peter and everybody listening to this network right now or in the archives or on a rerun. Those questions were put to us. But by God, those questions also, John and Peter, were put to the other side.
Yes.
I'm going to figure out a way to hear it. I don't get such good radio reception around
the
here.
The only honorable thing to do is for the Republican Party to run no one.
they kind of already are, Peter. But never mind.
Yeah.
But no, I want to hear the answers to those questions from Flemball and the Hannity job and the Savage Wiener and Bortz and O'Reilly and that dirty crowd. I want to hear the answers.
Yeah, and you know, Guy was asking the question earlier, you know, do you think that they're going to be able to spin this? And I think they're going to try, but they're going to have a real hard time spinning any of it unless they really, you know, chop it up and re-edit it. I don't see how else they can do a successful spin job, but then again, I could be overestimating their audience.
They have, you know, the Greek temple business, right?
Oh, yeah.
About the stage set and all.
Yeah. Oh, look, he thinks that, you know, he thinks he's a Greek god. Oh, he really thinks he's something special. Never mind the fact that, yes, George Bush spoke in front of just such a set. And by the way, the Republican National Convention, or the Republican State Convention of Virginia did the same thing. Me, I got no problem with classical decor and classical stage setting, because I kind of like the look of it. I mean, but what pissed off the right wing about it is that he's taking their tactics and ramming them down their throats, and they don't like it.
Oh yeah, Bob. This has been my whole line about the production value of this event, you know, and everyone and those that are kind of complaining and moaning that, you know, he's not progressive enough for this or that, you know, have to realize that this is a media event. And when it comes to a media event, which is all the Republicans have ever been in the past 20 years, has been a media circus.
It's morning in America, my friends.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, they've taken all those techniques but turned them around into a positive tool as opposed to just a baseball bat.
Well, talk about framing the argument, if you will. I've been reading article after article, and Obama has to frame it because he's always in defense mode. He's always defending himself. You know, it's the same stuff that we get year after year after year. It's always, did he frame it in concrete or what? Obama took over the frame of the argument tonight.
I think, right, it leaves them nowhere to go. Guys, we may have to do just a little bit of juggling and rearranging. Peter, are you using your rig down there?
I'm on a landline, and my rig is not plugged in.
Okay, well, I know for a fact that we have Mark Levine calling in on the other line. If both of these lines at the same time don't work out, Peter, could you hook up your rig and come in on the standard connection?
Yes, I sure can.
Okay, let's try
this.
Why don't
we just plan on that, and I'll be plugged in just a minute or three or four.
Okay.
Am I there?
You're there, Mark.
Okay, my cell phone is dying, so I won't have a lot of time to talk. Obviously, I'm sitting here in Mile High Field. I'll talk until my cell phone dies. I'm a little stunned. I'm a little overwhelmed. I just pray this guy will be president of the United States. Every word he said, well, not to clink gold for you, Bob, but every other word he said, it was just...
No, but Mark, I understand the clean coal comment, too, because that potentially takes a lot of money out of John McCain's pocket.
Well, look, I don't want to go there because 99.9% of what he said I found moving and powerful.
As did I.
Human. And really just, I look around at this crowd, and I got to tell you something. Oh, maybe 70% or less, but a good 30% of us are just here. And we're looking around, and we're looking at everybody else, and we're enjoying the moment. It's a cool night in Denver. It's a pleasant evening. It's just, you know, here are people, my fellow Americans, that really care about their country and don't just care about themselves. And to me, that was the heart of what Barack Obama said. And you know what? He's a great speaker, but that's something that the Democratic Party believes in. It's the heart of what a progressive believes. It's the heart, frankly, of what a good Christian believes, or a good Jew, or a good Muslim, or a good Buddhist, or a good atheist, believing and taking care of your fellow man. We are our brother's keeper. That's the heart of the difference. The heart of the difference between Democrats and Republicans. we look out for each other. We know that if we love each other, we ourselves will be loved. Republicans are just selfish. They only care about themselves.
But Mark, let me ask you a question that I put to John and Peter just a moment ago, who are on the line. Well, Peter will be back in a minute. John's here. Those questions, when he really hit his stride, those questions about what America can agree on and can we not agree, those were not rhetorical questions, Mark.
Oh, I knew that. That was to hit the abortion and the guns and the gays.
No, but those were questions that he legitimately wants answered by the other side and by us as well.
That's right. That's right. And there's also a way to be saying, I loved it when we're talking about the small things, you know, rather than health care, people dying because, you know, they don't have enough health care, or people not getting a decent education, or, you know, our troops in a country that he mentioned in some, I loved it when he said that Al-Qaeda is in 80 countries on earth and we're going to beat them by fighting in one. I mean, it's there's so many aspects of that.
Yep, and we lost him.
Baga, because I tell you, it's been such a treat to have the guys there. I know we wanted to, you know, have even more of a presence there, and it didn't work out as planned. But I'll tell you,
this was sufficient, you know, John.
This is what we created this for. I think the only thing that's going to top it is election night, and then possibly the inauguration.
Yeah, it is, and. The thing, it is what it was created for, and frankly, the idea. Look, as I was saying to Guy, as he was ringing off, I'll put the commentary that we offered up against every last inane, ignorant, dirt, dumb word that flowed out of Chris Matthews's mouth, or any of those babbling boobies on Fox, or God knows the morons at CNN. I will put the commentary that we offered up against anything that was offered in this country, and I'll lay it side by side, John, and I will be proud of what Guy James and Mark Levine and I and you and everybody who makes the horn happen, our contributors, our listeners, emailers, callers, I will put that against anything that was put out by anyone else, and you know what? We win.
Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. You know, I couldn't even bother tuning in to the mainstream media during all of this. I was more than happy to pseudo-sync the horn stream with the C-SPAN video feed and be part of, you know, I think one of the things that makes what we do so special is the interactive nature of it in the chat room and everything.
Just one second, John. I had to cut you in mid-sentence there for a second so we could bring Peter back. Please continue, John. That was unfair, but Peter was ringing in and I had to get him aboard. Are you there, Peter?
Yes, sir.
Okay, wonderful.
Hey! There he is. That's
and we lost Mark. His phone died. I don't know who he was talking to that he killed his cell phone, but, you know, Mark was born to speak.
Mark is our Joe Biden.
Yeah, he's like the Timex guy when you that takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
He keeps going and going and going and going.
I hope he's not monitoring.
The cell phone has not been made that Mark Levine cannot wear out.
I don't know if you guys have gone over to the alternate website that Barack Obama's got going on, which is my.barackobama.com. It's the social networking site. Have you been there?
No, I have not.
I haven't either.
Okay. I suggest that this is something that we should, as supporters and also those of us that are in the liberal media, should become a part of. You sign up. It's kind of like a very schmick MySpace. You get a blog. There are groups. So you can actually sign up to discussion threads that come to your email on the particular, issues that concern you. I think I've set up, I'm waiting for it to be approved, a Head On Radio Network group at this website where people can sign up. I even set up an event for our listening party last night. Should have done it days ago, but I got there last night. And I think that this is the vehicle in which they are looking to observe the discussion on issues from the public in which to use as input into policymaking. I've been following the environmental threads really closely, like on renewable energy, and solar geothermal is getting a huge push in there. And like I've said before, I get the impression that we're being given an opportunity that this would be an administration that will try and leave the door open to be able to listen. And if that's the case, we need to take the opportunity in hand and do that.
If those are the emails you sent this morning, then regarding
Right. So you know, I mean, if again, this is where the responsibility does come down to us. I'm not into this cult of personality idea where I think Barack Obama is going to fix everything. No, he's there to represent the views of the people, and if we get involved, maybe we can shift him on the idea of you know, carbon sequestration, you know, being just a farce. And I think even the way that he worded it was, you know, looking for ways too. But if those ways don't pan out, then it's not on.
And that applies. And you know what? I took it much the same way. That applies to clean coal too, John. If we can't, if you can't make clean coal, then clean coal ain't part of the equation because it doesn't exist, and you can't add imaginary numbers.
Yeah, well, I bought into the clean coal bit until I found you, or you know, nobody talks about it. Everybody believes clean. Nobody shakes their head at that sentence. Clean coal.
It's been shampooed. You know what?
It's never been done. I mean, one of the great examples was there was a sequestration test project down here in Australia. And you know they had Peter Garrett, our environment minister there, you know, for this big unveiling, you know, this pilot program. They're finally going to try it. He turns the switch on, flips the switch. As soon as they get the media away, the owner of the plant comes down and just shuts it off. And he goes, "Look, it's just a prop."
Reminds me of the solar panels and the windmill over in Beckley at Dr. Bill's campus. And I'm not being critical of Dr. Bill, God knows. But they built that beautiful building there, and there's a windmill and a set of solar panels that were installed by Appalachian Power. And when the wind comes through, the windmill goes whoop, 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 you know, just it, like windmills do. And it turns, and it pivots on its axis depending on where the wind's coming from, and all of that. And the solar panels are sitting there sucking up sunshine. And I looked at Dr. Bill and said, how much of your energy footprint's coming off those panels and that windmill? He looks at me and goes, "Bob, none." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "We are told that they're doing nothing but gathering data right now."
Oh, my Lord. So they're putting amp meters on the things and letting them spin and writing them down.
There's some guy at the monitoring station down inside the coal-fired power plant going, "Dang, that's fast. That's a whole bunch of electricity. Come here, Arlie. Look how much electricity that went. Thank God it ain't hooked up to nothing. We'd go broke."
Yep, you said it right.
So, yeah, some of that. And, you know, usually we don't solicit calls on the horn section, but this isn't really the horn section. There's a lot of folks listening yet, and I want to offer the opportunity, if you guys don't mind, offer the opportunity for folks to call in and share their thoughts on this, talking about what this means. Folks are more than welcome to do 304-658-3333. That's on your nickel. If you need us to carry it on ours, it's 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. And you're welcome to chime in on this conversation. This kind of opportunity doesn't come along very often. And one of the things that, like I said, talking with Guy, and Peter, you were there, his back reference to that Depression-era generation, that World War II generation, really, really, really rang with me. Because, you know what, guys? There is nothing dirty in sacrifice. There is nothing dishonorable in sacrifice shared for the betterment of one's nation's present and future. But the Republican Party has made that a dirty thing, and it's time we change that.
One wonders if it was discussed earlier in the convention that the huge majority of the young people were voting Obama, but not necessarily older people. One wonders if those remarks rang with the older people who may have been listening regarding the Depression. That may have been just the connection they needed.
It could very well be, because that's something John McCain can't talk about. John McCain comes from privilege. His father and his grandfather were both admirals. They served their country, his grandfather and father particularly honorably. They did what their country told them to do. As to a certain extent, so did John McCain. But they were the beneficiaries of the sacrifice of America.
They were also beneficiaries of investment in the people that took place after the Depression, which we no longer have.
And during the Depression, you know, I can drive 2 miles, John, Peter. I can drive 2 miles down to a beautiful state park that overlooks the New River Gorge. It's called Hawk's Nest. Isn't that a gorgeous name? I take it for granted, Hawk's Nest, but it is. It's beautiful. It was formerly known as Marshall's Pillars because it was first visited by Chief Justice John Marshall in, I think, 1812. You can stand on the overlook and you can see the reintroduced and now thriving hawk and eagle and falcon species that zoom in the gorge. And that park was created as a function of the Civil Conservation Corps and the Works Progress Administration. And state parks all over the country have the same look. Rough-hewn stone designs, open timbers, that sort of thing. And those were all functions of a government that was dedicated to giving its workforce honorable work to do during an economic crisis. That's what the FDR administration did. They created these works programs, but at the same time, the work that they did was geared toward building desperately needed infrastructure in this country.
And it was all beautifully done. There's a whole series of bridges and railings that are in the Columbia River Gorge outside of Portland, Oregon, that were all done during the works projects. And they're strikingly beautiful.
They're breathtaking, and I think that call to service that he issued is a call for something similar again. Oh, by the way, our buddy David in Tennessee writes in. He's monitoring some other media. He says on PBS just now, David Brooks stated flatly that the speech was a flop. A professor.
Oh my Lord.
A professor from the none more conservative George Mason University told him he was dead-ass wrong. And David says, I stood on a parade ground in 1963 as an ROTC cadet and watched LBJ and a daughter waltz around. I've seen a few of these. Senator Obama hit a walk-off home run tonight. Please trust me on this one. And I do. I do.
PBS, a flop.
Well, David Brooks, you know, please.
Yeah, David Brooks. I mean, he's a hack of extraordinary levels.
But please, those of you who, like me, are excited by this, please be prepared for the fact that you're going to get up in the morning and you're going to see more than one out there saying it. Oh, well, there's nothing special in that. Well, nothing to see here. Move along. These are not the droids you're looking for. Ah, you know what we need? We need some straight talk from that straight shooting, straight talking maverick John McCain. That's what we need. Well, we need some straight talk and a little bit of Metamucil. That's what we need. A little bit of Metamucil and some straight talk.
Elevator shoes.
And you know, I'm just waiting for all the doctored images of trying to make this out to be Nuremberg. That's coming too,
because they've already previewed that with the Berlin appearance, and we didn't talk about it too much when we had Guy on the line, but I am profoundly disturbed. I am profoundly disturbed by this vile thing that the McCain campaign has done. It's up on the hitonradionetwork.com website. HANG appears in new McCain ad featuring Obama.
Yeah.
Anybody, I'm sure ELO could speak to this. Anybody who has ever manipulated video inside a video editor can tell you that that doesn't just happen. The C in change has been quite clearly wiped out. You can't make it out to be a C anymore. And you see Barack Obama in profile next to the words higher taxes and a group clapping with the words suspended above them, hang.
It just shows how scared they are, Bob. They've got nothing left. They have absolutely nothing left. But it is a very scary thing because, you know.
They mean it, John. They mean it.
I said in the chat room before, some redneck's going to go, now that didn't happen there by accident. That's a sign from the Almighty.
Oh,
we got to go and get this uppity.
The angels appear outside of airplanes in the clouds. Their website's devoted to that, you know.
Oh, I know. Hey, I remember when Satan appeared in the clouds of the collapsing towers.
Oh, yes, I forgot about that.
And
girl. I mean, Satan. Sorry.
Where did I see it? Please tell me. I clicked on it somewhere along the way. The Jesus appeared in another hot cross bun or Danish or something recently. Oh, it's just sad.
And this is what we call faith in the United States. This is the level of spirituality that we have come to under the guidance in the hands of the conservatives.
Oh yeah, and you know one of the things that we you know there's been a lot of news happening while we've been covering the convention. And it's some of it's scary, you know. If you're tracking Hurricane Gustav, and I know you are, Peter.
Oh yeah, I've got a tab open on the hurricane site NOAA, the national, you know, whoever they are in Miami. Yeah.
By 2 p.m. Saturday, it will be crossing the western tip of Cuba, and then it will move into the wide open Gulf, and it will spin up into an absolute bastard. And see the thing that scares me, I mentioned during the program earlier that Katrina is not what did New Orleans in. That was entirely human failings. And Kate wrote in to affirm that. She said New Orleans didn't get Katrina'd. The Mississippi Gulf Coast is where the genocide is happening. All the work we've done for 3 years will be blown down. Thousands of folks won't leave this time. They're too depressed and broke. Direct quote, I've heard this dozens of times. I'm going to ride the next one down. Going to die here. Screw FEMA and Bush. Can't take no more. But you know what? And this is so very sad. The Gulf Coast is more ill-prepared for this than they were for Katrina. Because at least the houses in the lower Ninth Ward stayed in place. FEMA trailers float or sink.
Yeah.
And there are and that's just, I'm not trying to be grim or anything, but that's just a little reminder of exactly how much is at stake here, guys. And frankly, this is what's bearing down right now.
The winds are already back up to 70. 74, I believe, is Category 1. Yes, I'm sure, 74.
What'll get hit in a McCain administration that they'll ignore?
Category 1, I mean. Yeah.
And it's It's hard to stomach. But it was nice, as we mentioned, that the gay people at least got acknowledged in the speech, Peter.
Yeah, the hospital visits are all there. That's all good, and it was using that as the example, also fit right in line with all of the other inarguable positions and cards that were laid on the table. None of them, any one of the decency, could not argue against that, or any of the other things he said.
Now, granted, marriage didn't get said, but I didn't, and I'm sorry.
The only way to win is not to play. I think that was the message to the Republicans tonight. No, marriage didn't get mentioned, but Michelle is talking about it. In other words, there's a wink and a nod going on, as it always is with us for some reason. But anyway, he's getting
guys,
the White House.
Who is it that put this? Ben just stuck a link in from CNN about the GOP reaction to the speech and the set, and the title is "The Columns." It's all a bit much, and you got to love how they turn things on its head. He has 300 foreign policy advisors, and for this his convention speech, a football stadium equipped with a movie set that looks like a Greek temple. Nationally syndicated host Rush Limbaugh wrote on his blog Thursday, "He claims to be the one that we have been waiting for." He's never said that.
No,
never, not
he's
once.
He's never said that once. So they're trying to do this whole the one, the Antichrist thing. And coming from a drug-addled blowhard like Rush Limbaugh, it's just a joke. It's an absolute joke.
I've been thinking that all day, John, that when are they going to start calling him the Antichrist? But tonight he made it very clear it's not about him, it's about us.
It's what he's been saying all along.
But see, again, we're dealing with people who don't deal with reality very well, guys.
Oh, I understand that, Bob. And this is exactly what we expected, but it's a riot, you know. They're going after the set piece and the atmosphere that was created. They can't really go after the content of the speech.
Well said, John. That's exactly what they always do. There are no arguments, so you go after something peripheral.
Well,
the online version of the conservative magazine National Review read an editorial called "Obama's Thugs," which purports to delve into Obama's fundraisers, and another editorial that repudiates any comparison to the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., comparisons that were made throughout the week because Thursday marks the 45th anniversary of King's "I Have a Dream" speech, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the columns, I reckon that was all Lincoln imagery. And for him to tie into Martin Luther King, he has every right. He has every right to do so, because in my mind, the fact that this man has actually gotten to this point is a culmination of what I would have thought King's dream would be.
It specifically was part of the dream. and look, you know, there were some beautiful little moments that, you know, you don't know whether others picked up on it. You know, I'm certainly not saying that, you know, I'm playing Beatles albums backwards or anything. But you are, Blanche.
Sorry.
John McCain and my friends, I've always been dependent upon the kindness of strangers. 8-track tape decks. No, that business about in 10 years we will end our not just dependence, but you know, our purchase of Middle Eastern oil.
Yeah, that was a front. I kept thinking what was going on in the boardrooms and the minds of those people when he was saying stuff like that. You know,
the ExxonMobil CEO sitting there going, shit. Fellas, we got to give some more money to that creepy old white dude on the other side. I know, but we gotta. There was an onion. There were multiple levels to that. Or tell me I'm crazy otherwise. And the other level of that was, why would he say something like that about a Muslim kingdom, Saudi Arabia, if, you know, what they say is true?
Oh, Yeah, that's a good point.
Because remember, he's a secret, and he's going to sell us, and we'll all be praying, and we'll have rugs, and right. No.
Yeah, yeah. If anything, he demonstrated that he is not of their faith. Not that there's anything wrong with their faith.
No, and that's not my point. But it's but there was so much defanging that went on. It was by the end of the evening, the right wing snake was sitting there trying to gum its dinner.
Defanging is such a perfect way to put it, Bob. That is just a wonderful turn of the phrase. You go, Bob.
Well, I think that was I think that was a lot of what the whole convention was about too, Peter. Was, you know, they just kind of point by point ever since, you know, the first night with Michelle Obama, you know, doing the whole thing about, you know, not so much softening her image but counteracting the whole, you know, angry black woman thing, and you know, they just step by step done this beautiful job speech by speech. Even, you know, people had, you know, complaints about that it was all too a little too nice in the beginning, but I think that that was playing smart. They did all the play nicey nice, draw people in, and then just continue to add more meat as we get towards the end, once you might have people that wouldn't have watching. I can't commend them any higher for how well they organized this thing as a media event.
The speech itself was so well crafted. There's a passage in one of my favorite books, Robert Penn Warren's All the King's Men, and the narrator is talking about a speech given by the central character in that book, and I'm not comparing the two characters, but he said, I heard him talking, and I thought, is he going to do it? Is he going to bring it? No, he ain't going to bring it. No, yeah, and it was that same sense of a slow burn, a slow build. It was conversational at the beginning, but by the time he got to those non-rhetorical questions, he was in the full flower, the full blossom of the very best of American political oratory.
Yep.
And I would, you know, I would gladly set that right next door. I would set that passage, that speech, right next door to the very best of anything offered by any presidential candidate in the last 100 years.
Well, you remember his first speech, the one that wowed us all. I've forgotten what the venue was, but I'm sure you all remember it. But I read an article today. He wrote every word of that. And it would not surprise me in the least if he didn't write every word of this.
Well, see, he's smart enough to do that. John McCain isn't, and Lord knows George Bush isn't. George Bush can't string a sentence together with subject, verb, and predicate, and the only thing that John McCain knows how to do is string together subject, verb, and I was a POW.
Yeah, no, he didn't. I was a POW. And everybody defers to it and gives it the due respect, but what's your point, though? What's your point?
And if being right only 10% of the time is good enough for you, John McCain's your guy.
Whew. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, a 10% chance for change. I remember, yeah, it just blew me away. He just annihilated.
That was just brilliant framing. You just had to love that moment, you know. It's just turn it all right around and hit him with the blunt end. It was beautiful.
You could almost hear the Repiglican National Committee going, ooh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the way that I've said it a number of times, but, you know, again, like you said, you know, just being able to pull the knives away by, you know, the whole look at the first and second family you could have. I mean, after Biden's speech, when Obama rocked up and then the families all came out, it was, you know, just like, here you go, America. Who more represents you? You know, an average family of mixed race. I hate that word race because it's actually incorrect. And, you know, the big, you know, working class, Irish, Catholic, big family. You know, I mean, Biden's speech, the moments with his mother, I reckon, probably would have been the stake in the cold hearts of the right wing. How could you not have fallen in love with that woman?
Oh.
And it's so, the contrast so starkly with what's her face who won't even let you have see her income tax returns. What's her name? Is it Cynthia?
Miss Budweiser?
Yeah, her.
Miss Botox?
Miss, you know, Miss Downer problem, but never mind.
Oh, you know, I don't know. We've been talking about the sets. Have you seen? I saw a digital rig up of what the Republican National Convention set's going to look like. Have you seen this?
I saw something put forward on the Google.
Now, from what I saw what seemed to be a very, very creepy bit of a stage, which kind of looked like one of those Illuminati pyramid-type staircases, but chopped off so it becomes a stage.
Ruh-roh.
That's just the first thing that I saw. And so, I mean, that should give the New World Order people plenty to go off. Send Alex Jones up there to go hassle Michelle Malkin at the Republican National Convention. That'll be even more fun for him.
Yeah, that would be just lovely. Hey, let's try a phone call, guys. One just rolled in. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, fellas. How are ya?
Oh, doing good. How are you?
Doing all right. Hey, I got to tell you. Oh, my God, it's so funny. I've got the...
Oh, by the way, I'm a bad person. I assume because I know you're... Sue. Yeah, just so people know, Sue. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. This Sue. Yellow in the chat room. Hey, fellas. I'm watching a C-SPAN at the same time here. John McCain just had this video snippet on. C-SPAN just ran it about congratulating Barack.
Oh, yeah.
For tonight and a speech. And the whole thing is, oh, my God, I about wet myself laughing. He's got this nervous grin on his face. And if you remember the cartoon characters when Tom and Jerry, when Tom knows that the mouse finally got his goat, that hard gulp and it makes that bleep sound? That's the look on his face, and it's like, you're shitting your pants, pal.
Did they shoot him sitting in his spanky new shining Hupmobile?
It was too much of an extreme close-up, but it was basically just a headshot, and they were really tight in on him, and you know, tomorrow we'll be back at it, but tonight, good job. He didn't use the my friend or anything, but it's like, yeah, you're worried now, pal. You better be. Why does he have to come here to my great state of Ohio to announce his knuckle-dragging mate?
I don't know.
because you know, sorry, I really do. I kind of feel sorry for you, Sue, and everybody else in Ohio. Kind of feel sorry for you because you have been declared once again the state to determine the fate of the nation.
Well, it's, you know, we finally get rid of Ken Blackwell.
Oh,
and
boy.
Jennifer Bruner is doing an excellent job of getting the election straightened around here. Insofar as the paper ballot edict that she issued for the primaries back in March, and it goes again for November. In fact, she said, you know, well, you're good, you know, you had to have, I think her edict was for 15% of the last one had to have 15% of paper ballots met. But this time she's like, you know, you're all going to be printing more, so be ready for it. And, of course, the neocons are like, oh, God, what do we need them for? It's like, well, because we're all tired of having our, and don't give us no crap about humidity, not being able to read it in the scanners and emergency, homeland, you know, level 10 emergencies. And don't give us no more crap. And and the cards come up missing. Oh, and another thing, too, was, and this one kind of slipped underneath the radar, you know, those little DRE machines, they're small, they're tiny. And I've got a Ford Taurus. I could get probably 20 of them in my car. And election presiding judges were allowed to take these in their vehicles.
Yeah, for the sleepovers.
Yeah, to go home, to take them to their work, you know, go pick them up. And it would save on election day having to go to your Board of Elections and pick them up then. And she did away with it. She says, no one's taking these machines anywhere. They will be delivered for you, but you're not taking them in your cars anymore. And there's, yeah, the no more sleepover thing. So if they want to sort of try and play Ohio that way again, I beg them to, because Brenner's going to be all over them. I mean, she's doing exactly what we elected her to do, and as Secretary of State, wonderful, and that is clean the mess that Ken Blackwell left. He left this state in shambles. So, if they want to do it here, bring it on, you know. But I have a feeling that Ohio will just kind of.
But with Ted Strickland there, with a Democrat in the Senate, a Democratic Secretary of State. Isn't it going to be harder to steal Ohio this time around, especially with the ballot reforms?
Sure, and I just had Bob Takis on his show last week. Bob's going to be all over it again. Bob was the independent candidate for governor here in 2006. And, you know, him and Ted ran great campaigns. Ted won, and Blackwell, of course, lost his bid for governor. But you know, between Ted and Jennifer and Bob, we're going to be good. I really don't. It could be naive thinking, and it could be that, you know, it's the shame of 2000. I carry a lot of that shame. It's like, God, it happened in my own home state. But I don't think they're going to be able to get away with it again. If they do, if they try, they're going to get caught.
Well, I mentioned earlier talking to guys who, that I would like to see if they're, and this is no time for my usual cynicism, if they are really sincere about putting Obama over the top, I don't think there could be any better use for both Bill and Hillary Clinton than to absolutely barnstorm places like Western PA and Ohio and Indiana, and yes, even miserable little 5 electoral votes, West Virginia. And I mentioned West Virginia, Sue, because we got 5 little miserable electoral votes. But if you talk to anybody, either heading down toward Charlotte, North Carolina, or up toward Dayton and Toledo, you're going to run into a bunch of people with hillbilly roots.
Sure.
And we talk to each other, and we burn the phone lines up. And so, I think if you turn things in this region, then you change the outcome or potential outcome dramatically. And I really, 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 really hope that Bill and Hillary Clinton will be put to their best use, and that they're willing to do so, and to come here and make a difference in places like Ohio and Western PA and Indiana and Kentucky and West Virginia and Virginia on Obama's behalf, because I see that as the really best, most likely way of changing the outcome.
You're absolutely right. I live in a very red part of Ohio, and it's been very red since the 1930s here. We haven't had a Democrat elected from my district, the 16th district, since 1930. And you're absolutely right, and I've grown up around the kind of talk and the bigotry that you're referring to and that you're talking about. I know what it's all about, and it's going to take a lot of work to change it, and the people that can change it are the Bill and Hillary Clintons, and they must. It's imperative. They have to spend the time here. Otherwise, they're not going to win these states.
I can't hardly stand the concept of that, Sue.
I know, you know, you would think as a nation we would grow out of it, but, I mean, you know, and I was so happy for John in Australia when they finally apologized to the Aborigines. And here we can't even get them to take a recorded vote on apologizing to Indians and and black people for slavery in this country. We can't get them to take a recorded vote. It was a voice vote only. And the Republicans said, if it was anything else, you know, if they were voting on favorite ice cream, they'd want a recorded vote. But when you apologize to a group of people for killing them and enslaving them, voice vote's fine, you know. And that's it, because there's no record of it. The only thing that's recorded is the attack.
Right.
It doesn't say by who or by how much or, you know, if there was any debate or there's nothing. So I hope that this will be the turning point and we can finally get past this stupid bigotry and start seeing people for people. And I tell you, I'm psyched, but I know it's getting close to time, but I just had to tell you guys, I think we've got them running scared. I really think we've got them running scared. The look on John McCain's face was priceless.
Excellent.
And you know, the trick when you've got them on the run, Sue, is to run them to ground or keep them running. You can't let up. You've got to press. And I'm praying that you remember the edict that went out from the Kerry campaign during the last Republican conclave, whatever it was, that during the time of the Republican convention, not a bad thing would be said about George Bush.
I don't remember that, but it's like,
how naive. You know,
well,
not a lot of good that did us, huh?
Yeah, they haven't let up on us. When they start running ads with "hang" in it, you know, with the acceptance speech coming around, they mean to play dirty.
Sure.
And I understand Obama's desire not to. But it, you know, there's a difference between playing dirty and punching somebody's teeth in when they're getting nasty.
Well, and the final three, I'm hanging my hat on the fact that the final three knockout blows will come in the last three debates that we have. We've got three debates, and I'm not sure how many of the vice presidents have. If they have one or two,
that'll just be one, I think.
Just one. Yeah, but we still between Barack and 894, we've got three more times, and we can do it. They're scared now. I'm telling you, I have never seen him look. I've never seen McCain look like he did in that. I mean, you can tell a nervous smile from a confident smile, and when he's making his jokes like I ran, that it's that kind of confident smile when he's up there singing "Bomb Iran." What I saw on the television tonight was not confident. He's scared. I'm telling you, he's scared, guys.
We yeah, what you're saying, Sue, is that was the smile of a man who's happy his laxative is working.
I love the way you nail it, Bob.
You know the smile I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Stop it. You're killing me. I'm going to let you guys go so you can do your thing and that, but I just wanted to let you go. Bob and go Biden. We got them, guys.
I think we
did.
Just got to run them to ground. Sue, take care, dear.
Okay, I love you guys. See you later. Bye.
Love you too. Bye. Where did that come from?
What? I don't know, but you hope that that little smile is the very last smile he ever smiles. You know, that's he pooped the bed as the last smile he ever had. And he dies in it. Not in the kindest, gentlest possible way.
Oh, God. Well, we've run over, John. You want to take a run at your gig?
Yeah, I'd love to. I've decided I'm not going to kill the party with depressing environmental news. I just reckon it's going to be a whole lot of music just to kind
yeah,
of
and one last thing for the trivially oriented. Did I say earlier in the week that there would be country music involved here somewhere? I think I did.
And you were right. They used country music after the speech, did they not?
That was the go out music, and that was Brooks and Dunn.
Really? What was the song?
Only in America.
Oh, really? Cool. Brooks and Dunn are not bad at all. I kind of like them.
Secretly. Oh, man, ghostwriters for huge people for years.
Yeah, so And again, that was another one of those hitting it on the pitch pipe thing. And how many songs did you hear during the convention? I think I counted at least three. How many songs did you hear that somewhere along the way artists had objected to having used by a Republican?
Yeah, I noticed that too. I picked it up a couple of times. Yeah, it was so cool. And they're like begging to play there. Love that.
Pink Houses and a few others.
I heard Pink Houses. I heard Born in the USA, which, of course, was taken away from Ronnie Raygun.
Did Dixie Chicks play, or is that just over?
I don't think they played any Dixie Chicks, and I don't think they played any Madonna, because, you know, Madonna's in big trouble right now, too.
Oh, I certainly hope so.
She's got a concert tour going on in Europe, in which, she's singing something about something, and I know precisely nothing about the Madonna musical library past material girl. Sorry, just don't. But there's this happy, uplifting part, and she projects images of Gandhi and John Lennon and a couple other people.
Yeah.
And then she plays some downbeat stuff that's really negative and projects images of John McCain, Pol Pot, Stalin, Hitler, and the right wingers. The Fox Goobers. Well, she's Dixie Chicked herself.
Honey, she was Dixie Chicked years ago. Oh, she's worse than
you're off the air for a week, and look where you go.
Oh, can't help it. It's in the blood.
Real.
Let's see. So, John, I'm sorry we ran over, but let's try this little experiment. Peter, thank you very much for your re-debut this evening.
I had a blast, guys.
Good to see you, Peter. Good to hear you, brother.
Thank you.
We'll see you. We'll see you on the other side, Bob. I'll wait for your sign.
Okay. No, I'm sorry, John. I don't mean to. I'm a little confused here. Are you going to take over the stream?
Yes, sir.
Okie dokie. So, I don't know how to close this.
I don't either, Bob.
Because for once in my career doing this, I don't feel like playing Hell No, I Ain't Happy.
I'm at a complete loss. I don't know how to be cranky anymore.
Yeah.
Can't do any more bad stories to find nice news.
Oh, I got it. No, that's not it either. Hey, you know what? What did they say about? There's something said about walking along the way. And if this is the right song, and I think it is, let me just check. Yeah, it is. So we'll use this to close. John, you're on the other side. Peter, thank you very much. This will end our convention coverage, everyone. John Fox is next with All Foxed Up. Thank you so much for joining in what has been a beautiful, beautiful experiment in genuine independent media and live liberal coverage of the Democratic National Convention from Denver, Colorado. Mark Levine, Guy James, please come home safely. We love you dearly. You've done a hell of a good job. You've done a tremendous job. You've done a great job. You've done yeoman work. Come home, get a nap, rest up, and come next week. Time to renew the fight. Thank you to our sponsor, Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Go to coalriverwind.org and sign the petition. Encourage the Coal River Mountain Windmill Farm petition, and encourage those you know who have not done so yet, please, to do so. Thank you to Ben Birch, who has been such an integral part of making this all work. Hardest working man in liberal talk, honest to God. Thank you to John Fox, who is constantly experimenting and working to make the horn a better thing and expand our capabilities. He's also your humble webmaster, and we thank him for that as well. Peter Godbold makes all the computers here behave as good
well-behaved computers ought. And thank you, every last one of you, who helped to keep the horn going with your generous contributions, the living proof that you want to stand shoulder to shoulder to us, with us as we make this bold and daring effort to create real liberal media in America. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
Everybody's got to walk. Everybody got to walk.